So the topic for this workshop is steps 1, 2, and 3. I can't, God can, let God. We'll have three speakers. We'll have, for step 1, we'll have Lisa. For step 2, we'll have Laura. And for step 3, we'll have Marcus. So let's welcome our first speaker, Lisa M. Are you there, Lisa?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go for it.
Thank you. Before I start, I would like to read this prayer, step 1 prayer out of the 12-step study guide, MBA. God, I pray now for the willingness to be honest where I am, to share with those in the DA program, and to ask for help to move forward. Guide me through this darkness and shine a light on the next step I should take. I am listening. I am grateful. I am a grateful member of this program. And I am grateful because a lot of miracles have happened. And I have been working in the step study guide for the last 11 weeks with a phenomenal step study group. And step 1, we admitted we were powerless over debt, that our lives had become unmanageable. And I'm just going to get a real quick down and dirty version of my powerlessness over debt. Before I came into DA, DA was not my first 12-step program, but I had to come into these rooms in 2008 because my therapist at that time suggested that I come. I was in $11,000 of debt. $7,000 of it was for a loan from my retirement fund, which I used as a down payment on my condo. And $4,000 of debt was for credit cards. And when my therapist at the time suggested me come into DA, I was on the verge of losing my job because they were planning on closing down the Philadelphia office and I didn't know what to do. I did not want to be stuck with that debt and I was scared and I was willing to do anything. Whatever you told me, I was willing to do because that's the last thing I want to do, be unemployed and be saddled with all this debt. And that's the crazy part with me. I don't like debt. I hate that. I don't like owing anybody anything, but I have. And it's just the disease that I have. Before I came into these rooms, I bounced checks, wrote checks that I knew I didn't have money on for, and prayed to God to give me the money to pay for those debt. I used advances on my credit card at astronomical rates. I didn't pay my bills. I wasn't paying my business credit card at one time. And I could have lost my job or I could have lost the credit card, which would have endangered me of not being able to perform my job. That scared me straight with my business credit card because I didn't do that with that credit card anymore. I wasn't paying the credit card off one time and my supervisor at the time made a visit to my cubicle with all my colleagues listening. That scared me straight with that. But I continued to play the shell game with all my other credit cards. I didn't pay my cousin the rent that she deserved when I was living with her. I had ordered years ago. I mean, when I was a kid, because my thing was, I thought money was the solution to all my problems. And I used to dream of how to make money because we were living on welfare and there was always not enough money. So I would dream of ways to make money. And one of the ways I ordered these greeting cards on COD and I was supposed to sell the greeting cards and the money I made from selling these greeting cards, I was supposed to send the money to the company. Well, the few cards that I did sell, I didn't send the money back. And most of the cards I never even tried to sell, and I didn't send the cards back. So my debting goes way back, even to when my mother used to tell me, you spend money like you have a hole in your pocket. You had money burns a hole in your pocket. So that, and I didn't understand what she was saying. We just thought it was cute and we all laughed. I didn't know I had a debting problem. But my debting problem goes back a long ways. And by the grace of God, I eventually made it into these rooms. It wasn't because of me. The debting did not stop. Unfortunately, when I came into these rooms, I was still writing checks that I couldn't bounce on. By the grace of God, that I did not go to jail for bad checks. I was still not paying some bills on time because even as I started earning more money, I was still using more money because I had this sense of entitlement. Oh, don't you know where I came from? Don't you know I deserve this? What do you mean I can't have this? I played the big shot too. I thought, oh, well, everybody's going to recognize me because I have money. I'm, you know, I was shopping in boutiques because people knew my name. They knew what I like. Oh, Miss McKell, you know, we know what you want. We have your card. And hey, you couldn't tell me I had not arrived.
5 minutes left.
Thank you. So with that, I incurred more debt and more debt. And eventually I came to listen. As this prayer said, I am listening. I finally took the cotton out of my ears and stuffed it in my mouth. I began to listen to what people were telling me and listening to their suggestions about what I should do. One of the things that I heard years ago was when I first came into the rooms of recovery was, when I got busy, I got better. And that resonated as to one of the solutions I needed to recover from this disease of debting, as well as working the 12 steps. I got busy. I took all the suggestions my sponsor said. I didn't do it willingly. Sometimes my willingness was not there. And I remember one of my DA sponsors said, You'll do what I suggest. You'll grumble about it, but you'll do it. Because I didn't want to go back to where I was. So I got into service. She suggested that I share. She made me go to the steps, the traditions, the concepts, all the pamphlets. She suggested I do service. I did service at every area of the group. I was a sponsor. I sponsor people in DA. I've been on PRGs. I did everything I could do to be busy because that is what saved my life, as well as trusting in a higher power that was greater than myself and trusting that he could do for me what I could not do for myself. Am I cured? No, I'm not cured. Not at all. I still have a problem with spending money, not because I don't have it, because I do have it. I have this money and I want to hold on to it because I feel like it's not going to be enough. That's that debting disease, which is powerful, cunning, and baffling. But the only solution I have for myself is to keep coming into these rooms. Don't stop before the miracles happens. Working the steps, be of service, sponsorship, being a sponsee and having a sponsor. Because I was told long time ago, it was a complete circle. I have to give away what was given to me in order to keep it. And that's what I try to do. And with that, I am forever grateful for this opportunity to do this service today. And with that, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Lisa. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Let's welcome our second speaker, Laura. Are you there, Laura?
Yes. Hello.
Okay, go for it.
Thanks. My name is Laura. I'm a compulsive debtor. I've been in DA since 1982. I debted once in 1990 and again in 1996. I haven't incurred new unsecured debt since 1996. And I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. So my home group is Monday night, Eastern time, 7 p.m. Don't Panic, Deer Park. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I see step two is about process, about open-mindedness and patience. Came to believe implies a process. Came to believe. It's about knowing that I don't know. I just recently saw this quote by Socrates. I am the wisest man alive, for I know one thing, and that is that I know nothing. I think that, for me, sums up the second step. So the other thing is the higher power. Same thing, open-mindedness, choice, and being open to all the aspects of DA. That's actually part of my process. And then sanity, I don't like the word, but it's hard to look at it. But certainly in the area of money and debt, I certainly wasn't very sane. So what I look for, what I want, and we do it together, and I do it individually, is peace of mind. And I feel that second step has given me that. So when I came to DA, I didn't have enough money to live on, but I didn't realize it. So I kept not paying bills, bouncing checks, getting eviction notices, having the lights turned off, having my mother bail me out. The confusion, always unclear, unable to plan. I heard about DA from my other 12-step program, and I was ready for it. What I heard was, I heard some hope. A friend of mine in that other program, I saw her on a crosstown bus, and she was glowing. And I said, what did you do? And she said, DA. So some time went by, and then I was in graduate school, and my father he taught at the school, had arranged for me to pay for books in the bookstore, and I would charge non-school things. And one day I was in there, I had a CD in my hand, and I said, I can't do this anymore. So I called Nancy, and she said, do you think you could go to a meeting? I said, yeah. Do you think you could keep records? That's what changed my life. All right. I have a lot to say, and I'm saying it so slowly. I'm like, okay. So I just want to say briefly about my trajectory with the higher power. When I came to my first 12-step program, I was defeated and hopeless, and I heard some hope. All I heard was one day at a time. That's all I needed. They had a little card that said, they had the Serenity Prayer, and I took a pen and rubbed out the word God because of my background. And I just said the Serenity Prayer. So my higher power was that 12-step programs exists and the group. So I like slogans a lot. So I use them. So God, good orderly direction. God, group of debtors. Bring the body, the mind will follow. Recovery is practiced forward and experienced, understood backwards. I think all those things are pertinent to the second step. Trusting the program, all the actions that we take, especially this last slogan, is so important to me. Meetings, literature, outreach, home group, pressure groups, just being open, sponsors. And I feel especially record keeping. For me, record keeping is humility. I am a compulsive debtor. I can't handle this. And it doesn't, even though the numbers matter, the numbers don't matter as much as taking the actions. To me, and I tell people, new people, that record keeping is a spiritual act. And that's what I have found with it. All right. So in the interest of time, I'm going to, over time, the representation of my higher power has changed. Initially, after the group, it was the flow, you know, being in the flow. At one point, because I've had trauma, it's been difficult to do steps 2 and 3. It took me a long time to feel comfortable with them. So, you know, at one point I would look for a representation and I was like, well, I'm not going to make anybody that looks like a person. So this was 1990s and there was this little detail of a painting by Raphael, which were these two little sort of cherubs that had wings. And I bought a copy of that and I put it above my bed and I said, this is my higher power. And the good thing about it is they weren't human and there were two of them. So they couldn't like have power over me. So that worked out for me for a while. When I came to DA, I had a vision and I said to my higher power, whatever I called it then, I said, I'm taking the actions. I'll let go of the results. They're in your hands. And that really worked. And that was, you know, it's a third step, but it's also part of the second step. Okay, so let me just tell you a little bit more about the last portion of my life, the last 6 years. In the last 6 years, I worked the 12 steps on shame. I worked the 12 steps on self-judgment. I learned, I made my feelings okay. I decided because I prayed, whatever, any conflict is okay, and to be with things and to love myself and also to let go. 1 minute?
Thank you.
Oh, okay. So I guess to sum up, in this process, in the last 8 months, I had to do an inventory on a project that to add time to my pension where I could not take action. And I spent time beating myself up over this inventory because oftentimes once I got to the third step, I was okay. I worked very hard on the second step during this time. And I cannot tell you how much peace this has given me. To be in the conflict and not know the answer is okay. I'll get to the point where I know what I have to give to my higher power. I could not do that. It was very hard, especially with painful things from my past, painful behaviors. So I'm very, very grateful. And I'm grateful to tell you that I have now gotten the payroll records from New York City in order to do this. And I'm thrilled. So all of this is from spending time working on the second step, letting the contradiction be, letting the process be, taking it a little at a time, and having the faith that trust will come. And that comes from just listening to other people, hearing the recovery in them, and having a thought that maybe I can do it too. And all I have to do is take the actions. So I guess that's it. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Laura. Really, you did a great job. Let's welcome our third speaker, who's Marcus. Are you there, Marcus?
Hi, everybody. So my name's Marcus. I'm a recovering compulsive debtor. So I have I've been in the fellowship for about 10 years and I've got 10 years solvency. So I was in another fellowship before I came to DA, and I was always in chaos and anxiety around money. And my sponsor at the time said to me, I think you're having what would be called a financial rock bottom, and you should go to DA. And I was like, what the hell's DA? And that evening, I got my ass onto a chair in a DA meeting. And so I knew by the end of that meeting, because I've been through the 12-step process before, that I knew that self-knowledge and understanding the program was not enough to keep me sober, so to speak, and keep me, to stop me from the compulsion to debt. I knew that at some point, because I knew this program was a spiritual solution, and at the core of that is handing our will and our life over to a higher power. And that's what sets us apart from self-help groups or therapies or whatever else. And I think that's a really important distinction. And so I kind of knew that was coming. And I guess I should read out step three, shouldn't I? Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So for me, I just say that the compulsion to spend and live beyond my means can be quite strong even till today, because I spend to change the way I feel. It's a painkiller for me, or a tranquilizer. And so for me, I often have to pray and say to my higher power, I need your help today, because I can feel that these feelings are uncomfortable for me, you know, and I'm finding this difficult. And I know that, you know, I want to change the way I feel. So it's something I have to do daily, you know, step three. It's not something I've done once. And what was really challenging for me was that handing my will and my life over to something that was more powerful for me was what made it really challenging. And because I'd had people in my life that had been more powerful than me when I was younger who abused that power. And self-reliance was the thing that kept me safe. So it was very hard for me to let go of my self-will, you know. Yeah, and that was really tricky. And I think there were two things that really helped me out with that. The first thing was my sponsor at the time said, look, you can choose your concept of a higher power. You can choose a loving higher power that has your best interests. And that was really powerful for me. And the other thing was that, so it took quite a lot of courage for me to let go of that kind of self-reliance and trust there was something out there that was more powerful than me, that could be loving for me and have my best interests. And the other thing was that I had a grain of willingness. And then on top of that grain of willingness, what happened was I had the support of you guys, of the fellowship, PRGs, a sponsor, fellowship. And those things, I could see I had worked in other people's lives. And so there was a grain of willingness that it can work for them, maybe it can work for me too. And so I started to do things like I remember being asked to, I was living in such deprivation, I hadn't been on a holiday for many years. And it was suggested that I put a small amount of money into a savings account for a holiday. And I thought, what a kind of useless thing to do, put like £5 a month. But within a few months, somebody gifted me a holiday to go abroad. So these, I began to notice these things, which I've heard often described as synchronicities. Things started to happen once I took actions. And the list could go on. I was going to list a few things, but I was in a co-debting relationship with an ex-wife, and I was very, very frightened of the divorce that was going to happen, because I had the debt and I had the divorce as well. And I was able, because of DA, the support of DA and the fellowship, I was able to sit down and do a financial agreement with my ex-wife, who was also a debtor and who wasn't in the fellowship. So all these things started to happen.
5 minutes left.
5 minutes left. Great. Yes. So that's good. Thank you for that, because I was kind of rushing there. So, yeah, so these things started to happen. I started to begin to notice this abundance that started to show up in my life. And so I wanted to go back to higher education, do an MA. And I thought, I'll never be able to afford to do that. I'll never be able to find the money to go back to higher education because it was expensive. And within the first 2 years of being in the fellowship, all the money arrived for me to go back and do an MA. So these basically miracles that started to happen in my life, I started to be able to trust a little more. And one of the things I did, I could just keep listing these things that started showing up in my life the longer I stayed in the fellowship. And what happened was, the MA that I chose to do, I didn't go to my first choice. I went to my second choice. And one of the things I think is really important to say is that there's a fantastic prayer, a step-free prayer in this fellowship. One of the last lines it says is, "May I shine to others as a beacon of your power." And I started to realize that what my higher power wanted for me was, my higher power wanted me to shine as brightly as I possibly could. That was the best service that I could do. So instead of going to the second best university, I should really start asking for what I want and need in my life. I suddenly discovered it was safe for me to ask for those things. But I needed the courage in order to be able to do those things. And if I had the courage to say them out loud or to write them down or to share them in a meeting or share them with you guys, then the universe and my higher power gifted those things to me. So that's what I do today, is that, you know, I do, I co-create with my higher power. And I make sure that I ask for what I want and need. And what I realize is that is the best service I can do, because that's a very attractive thing for the newcomer. It's very attractive for other fellows that I'm living the life that I really want to live. It's very, very abundant. Yeah, so I feel, you know, this is a wonderful fellowship. It's been very, very transformative for me. And I could stay here all night and bore you guys with the amount of things that have manifested in my life. But I just want to end by saying that in the promises, I'm actually in Mallorca right now, because I'm living my vision in Mallorca. But I lived in London. Okay, listen, I just want to end by saying, what do I want to end by saying? I think I'll just leave it there. Listen, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Marcus.
Thanks so much, Marcus. That was wonderful. And thank everybody for all the shares. Laura, Lisa, Laura, and you too, Marcus.